Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are seeking Jesus. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus. Christ is risen indeed. Today we have heard from Peter and Paul and Mark the greatest story ever told. For Jesus was simply not just brought back from death. Easter is not about a resuscitation, but about a new creation. Jesus was not restored to life, but raised to new life. In him, in his death and resurrection, a promise is extended to us that new life, resurrection life, eternal life will be ours also. Not only beyond death, though that is a great promise, but Easter also means life instead of death, new beginnings from the ashes of apparent failure, from all the kind of ways in which our life seems to crash down within and around us. So Easter brings God's answer not only to our death, but also to our brokenness, not only to our future, but to our present. Now, some of you have known this story for decades. Others may be hearing it for the first time. But something was missing from the story that you just heard. Or rather, someone, Jesus. We have four Gospels, four Easter stories, and let's take a quick look at them. In Matthew, the women meet Jesus on their way back from the tomb, and the disciples meet him in Galilee just as they have been instructed. In Luke, Jesus walks with two disciples on the road to Emmaus and then appears to the gathered disciples. In John's Gospel, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, twice to the disciples, once when Thomas was absent and then when Thomas was there, and again after that. Three Gospels, three others that tell about resurrection appearances, but none in this Easter story, which ought to make you ask why. Why is that the case? Friends, the answer to that question brings you into the story, and we'll get to that. The Easter stories and the other Gospels are complete in themselves. The one who is crucified has been raised, has appeared, and it seems like the story is all packaged properly. Good news is complete. But if I read Mark correctly, now this is going to take some attention. If I read Mark correctly, the first line of the Gospel says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now, with this telling, with this gospel that I read, we have reached, you ready for this, the end of the beginning. The whole gospel is the beginning of the gospel, which means something about what comes after that. So you know where we are. We need to see where the story has brought us in this gospel. We need to pay attention to what this gospel has told us. In the gospel reading, the young man, identified as such, told the women, told us, that Jesus had been raised. But those women, the only people who know the end of the story, who know the whole story, those women say nothing to anyone, for they are afraid. Last words in the Gospel of Mark. Most Bibles have additional verses. You can look and there will be a couple, two or three different endings added to that. But that's because people were uncomfortable with this gospel that we just heard this morning. And they say, we've got to finish it up like the other gospels are finished up. Because there's a kind of tension left with us as this one concludes. But the Gospel of Mark, as it was first read, as it was first known, as it was first heard in the church, ended like we heard it this morning. Which would make the Easter story the greatest story never told. Right? The women said nothing to anyone. And they're the only ones who know it. The greatest story never told. How odd. But the writer wanted us to notice that and to think about it. Here's what we've heard. It was morning. They were on their way to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. All at once it dawns on them they didn't bring anybody with enough muscle to move that stone. Yet they walk as they talk. They come in view of the tomb and it's open. The stone is rolled away. They enter inside this young man dressed in a white robe, and his words are clear enough. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's not here. He has been raised. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. And so they went from curiosity to trembling to terror. They fled from the tomb. But in their fear and in their confusion, they say nothing to anyone. The greatest story never told. But what about the disciples? What about the disciples, you ask? They're gone. 11 men, the 12 disciples minus Judas, who betrayed him, they are missing from the story. They followed Jesus throughout his ministry. In the garden, they had seen him arrested, led away. And at that moment, this gospel tells us they all forsook him and fled. They abandoned him. They took off. Peter followed. Maybe Peter's the hopeful one. He follows in to watch some of the trial. And what does he do? You know the story. He denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. So this was an incredible ministry, an incredible story, but if it was left to the disciples, it would be the greatest story never told. But why am I telling you this? Somehow, by the grace of God, you already know the story. By sheerest grace, I hope somehow it has grasped you. How can it be termed the greatest story never told? Someone told it. Does it really matter who or how? Indeed, it does, friends, because that's the point of the way Mark has written it. Mark wants us to wrestle with the questions raised by this strange ending. Why are we told the disciples are not in the story because they fled? Why are we told the women failed to deliver the message because they were afraid? You know how this works. You've maybe seen or read about Romeo and Juliet or other kind of dramas where somebody doesn't find out about some important information. In Romeo and Juliet, Romeo is never told that Juliet has taken this potion which only makes her appear to be dead. And so he finds her, he thinks he's dead, and therefore he commits suicide. Tragedy upon tragedy. So here, when you watch a drama, you want to say, tell somebody, say it. Whatever, it might be just a couple who are having trouble telling each other they still love each other. And like, tell it, say it. The tension is in this story too. The greatest story never told unless someone who knows it will tell it. We've seen the failure of the disciples. In the Passion narrative that you heard probably on Palm Sunday or Good Friday, in that Passion narrative, each time Judas is mentioned, Judas, it said Judas, one of the 12. It's like, we already knew that. Why do you have to say that again? His name comes up again today as Judas, one of the 12. In the upper room, the disciples, one after another, all of them, starting with Peter, insist that they will never betray him. All second Peter's statement of commitment, even though the rest of them fail you, I won't. I'll go with you all the way. And we know what happened to him. The sad recital. Judas had already agreed to betray him in Gethsemane. Three fall asleep when they're asked to stay with him. When he's arrested, all forsake him. Peter denies him, and they're gone. But for us who hear the story, there's still hope. There were women who saw him die on the cross. The women were there. And the women came to the tomb. They were prepared to anoint the body, which was the essential task that had to be done. So maybe the women are the ones we can look to find the positive ending to this story. They learn about the resurrection from this young man, and when it was all done, they say nothing to anyone, for they are afraid. Now, it was a perilous time. When the Gospel of Mark was written, it was a very dangerous time for the church. Either Jerusalem had just been destroyed or was just about to be. And there was real question whether this Jesus movement, this gathering of people who believed in and followed him, whether that would survive. It was a really dangerous time. And then we find out that the survival of this movement is in doubt, though we have heard that Jesus is alive. The central figures have in some way, this is the point, in some way they have all succumbed to what's going on around them. And so the gospel has faced us with this building tension of a wonderful story with no one able or willing to tell it. And so the question is, friends, how will the story be continued? By those who know of the resurrection and those who will tell it. By those who will venture to continue the ministry of Jesus by answering the call as it had been answered before by the lake shore. That is to say, by you. By you. People who know the story. Whether the gospel story will be continued, that's still an urgent question, as it always has been. Will fear dissuade us? Or apathy? Or embarrassment? Or material things? Or our amusements? Or smartphones? Or what have you? The question is, does anyone know the story? And then the gospel writer turns to you and says, I know who knows the story. I know who knows it. And so in your minds and in your hands and in your voice, will it be the greatest story ever told, or will it be the greatest story never told? Now, of course, Mark knew that the story had been told. Mark wrote his gospel, after all, for the Christian church. The text contains a hint that the disciples will have a role in the continuation of the story. The risen Christ will meet them in Galilee, where they were so first called to follow him. I think the message, part of it is that a fresh start, a new beginning, is always offered to repentant disciples, to people who will think it over again and take up the task. However, they or we have failed. Knowing the story invites our response. Will we as an individual, as individually and as a church, find our hope and salvation here? Will we find power in the message and its promise? Will we tell the story to one another and to our kids, or kids entrusted to our care, or to people in our communities or in our world? And will we encourage, pray for, and support those who tell the story in places where it has not been told? Friends, the best good news the world has ever known has come to us again, has reached our ears. Christ is risen. Death is conquered. Let it not be the greatest story never told. Amen. Amen.